Heavenly Father, we thank you. Jesus is alive and rescues and saves. And we say amen to that. We say amen to that. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Lord, help us all remember here, many of us who are born again, where we were when you found us and you saved us. We were in a mess, Lord. We were in a mess. We were broken. We were hopeless. Didn't have any direction or future in our lives. And you saved us. You saved us and you changed us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the glory of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving us. So in the quiet of this moment, we say in our hearts, thank you, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus that we might have life and hope. And as we gather here, the gathered church, to celebrate today, may we remember all that you have done that we might have life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see you here this morning. We're glad you're here. I'm Pastor Mike. In just a moment, I'd like for you to take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll continue to talk this morning about what we're learning about the secrets of joy. The secrets of joy. Well, there's this man standing in the shadows over here. I better introduce him. This is Bob Vanderlinden. Would you welcome him? He represents the Gideons this morning. Bob is here. And Bob, good morning. Good to see you. And today is our day to honor our Gideons. And we have many Gideons who serve in our church. So those of you who are Gideons and the wives of Gideons, would you stand please across here so we can see who's here today in this service who are Gideons? Anybody in here? All right. We thank you for all of our Gideons who are here. And let's give them a round of applause and for their work. Bob, tell us a little bit about what's going on in the Gideons. Tell us a little bit about your goals. Just give us an update on what's going on. Today we'll be, as we leave at the doors, we'll be sharing a love offering with the Gideons. So good morning, and tell us a little bit about the work.
All right, before I get started, I got to tell you, this morning I got up, got ready to go, and I laid out on the bed a blue blazer, a pair of dark khaki pants, and a yellow shirt.
There you go.
And I thought, you know, I better not wear that.
That's
and I see the reason
uniform.
Why now. You guys might get us mixed
That's
up
right.
here. You
We'd
know?
Be confused. You're a lot younger and a lot better looking.
I don't think I'm younger, and I don't think I'm better looking.
Oh, come on. Well, anyway, tell us about the Gideons.
All right. Back to the Gideons. The Gideons have been around, obviously, since the early 1900s. You know, we've got people all over the world that are distributing God's word. And you know, one of the things that we do is we help others to come to know Christ by distributing that word in over 200 countries and over 100 different languages throughout the world. And that's a goal of ours, you know, to help others to come to know Christ by distributing God's word there around the world. You know, we've got camps set up. This is called our Dixon camp that we have here. And there are camps, Humphreys County, Houston County, Cheatham County, around here. And we expand the Gideons out through the nation and through international areas too. There's a lot of countries around the world that need God's word in them. And that's what we're doing, is distributing God's word out there for them.
Tell us about some of the goals, what's going on with the Gideons these days in the work.
Well, some of the work that we're doing right now is we've set some goals or visions for us for 2020. One of those visions is to be distributing 200 million copies of God's Word around the world. 200 million copies. Since our inception back in the early 1900s, we've distributed over 2 billion copies of God's Word around the world to help others to come to know Christ as their Savior. And, you know, we distribute to a variety of different people, to assisted living homes, nursing homes, places like that. Obviously, most of you are familiar with the hotels where we put the Bibles in that, to civil service personnel and that, to military personnel and that. We distribute to them. Just to give you a quick little testimony about the service personnel, I spent two tours flying in Vietnam. And I had Christ in my life when I was over there because my parents were both Christians and I was raised in a Christian home. But we have a lot of military personnel out there. And with everything that's going on in the world right now, a lot of those people need Christ in their life. So if we can provide them with a copy of God's Word to take with them wherever they're going for their service to our country, it's worth every penny and every cent that everyone that we distribute to them. And that.
Tell us about our work with the church. So what can we do? I know we have Gideons that serve in our church and are faithful to commit. What can we do to help the Gideons? Obviously, we want to give our offering today, our love offering. But what else can we be doing? Help us with that. Tell us a little bit more, Bob, what we can do.
All right. I'll make this in four quick points. One is pray for the Gideons. The Gideons have come under attack of Satan in the last few years. Some of the schools are not allowing us to go in there and distribute Bibles to the fifth graders and to the high schoolers graduating from high school. Some of the colleges and that are not allowing us in. Some of the military have banned us from coming on their posts and their naval air stations and places like that from going in to distribute God's Word. Motels and hotels, some of them are banning us from putting God's Word in their facilities and that. And they're making statements like, well, we don't want that because these other religious groups will want to put their book in there and things like that. So pray for the Gideons. Number two, if there's anyone in here that is interested in becoming a Gideon, we'd love to talk to you after the service. We're going to be up in the back of the church here at the end of the service and that. If there's anyone back there that you want to talk to about becoming a Gideon, please see one of us and we'd be happy to talk to you about that. Third is we have what we call a Gideon card program, and I just happen to have a Gideon card here with me. Back here in the front entry of the church, there's a rack, and that has several different types of cards in it. This one says In Sympathy. You can take one of those cards if someone would happen to pass away, and you can make a contribution to the Gideons by putting the donation in that card and sending the card to them saying, I've made a contribution. Any monies that come in from that goes to the printing of God's Word and that to be distributed around the world. The Gideons are supported by people like myself that belong to the organization and that. And fourth, I just ask that as a church and local group, we need you people for us to reach our goal. All churches in the communities and that. So giving, your giving in that through you, through yourself and through the church helps us to reach that goal, to reach others to come to know Christ as their Savior. That's our main goal.
Amen. Well, let's pray and thank you, Bob. Lord, I thank you for Bob representing our Gideons who faithfully go. Many of them go week by week and they share in the churches in our area. We thank you for their commitment to share the gospel. We thank you for their commitment to give people who may never come to church, may never hear anybody preach or teach the Bible, but can read the Bible for themselves and come to faith in Christ. We pray for every copy of God's Word that is placed in boys and girls and prisoners and military and people in hotels, that the Word of God would speak to them and draw them to Jesus, they might come to faith in Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, and we thank you for these faithful servants who serve in this great ministry. Bless them and bless their efforts and their time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you say thank you to Bob and all of our Gideons? Let's say thank you. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. Well, if you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 3, we're continuing to think about the secrets of joy. The secrets of joy. And I want to remind you, Paul is writing these words. He is in a bad situation. Joy is not based on my circumstances. Listen, church, we've been talking about this. I keep reminding you, joy, the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit is greater than your emotions of happiness and sadness. Joy is something that the Holy Spirit of God puts inside of you. Remember, if you've been with us before, joy is delight, delight in God. When we focus and praise and worship and celebrate and build our life relationships around Jesus, we experience joy, and joy is with us even in our sadness. You got to be listening to me now. Joy is with us even in our sadness. Joy is with us even in our happiness. Joy is something beyond the emotions that come with the conditions and circumstances of life. So today we talk about an amazing secret that Paul shares with us from his own life in Philippians chapter 3, the reward of being like Christ. You see, what we have in Philippians 3 is Paul starts talking about running. He uses the illustration of running. Now, we're not physically running a race, but the spiritual life that we live, our Christian life, listen, is a faith race. You live each day, and a part of your living by faith and trusting God and trusting in Jesus it's a life race. It's a faith race. Our mind is affected by this race. You may be in one location, but when you're racing by faith, you're still moving because you're going in a direction toward a future that's far greater than any place on this earth you can be. So we're thinking about joy. We're thinking about delight. We're thinking about that special experience, that calm delight that comes in knowing Jesus and all that goes with it. So let's review for a moment here. In chapter 1, verse 6, first secret of joy is this: I am confident of this thing. He who began a work in you will perfect it or complete it until the day of Christ, till Jesus comes. First secret of joy: God is working in your life. He is using the circumstances, situations, people in your life to make you more like Jesus. Second secret of joy, verse 21 of chapter 1. For me to live is Christ. Life is tied around Jesus. What I'm really living for, joy only comes when I live for Jesus. When I wake up in the morning and whatever my job is, whatever my family condition is, whatever the circumstances in my life may be, I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to live, and when I die, I'm going to die for Jesus. Jesus is at the center of my life. That's joy. Third secret of joy is in chapter 2, verse 17. Paul says, if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. In other words, giving yourself away, selflessly serving other people brings joy. He says, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. There's something of a special joy that comes, that rises in us when we serve other people without any expectation of anything in return. Whole lot of Christians going to Houston, Texas, and those areas, and also will be going to Florida, and also be working all around this country in all kinds of places in the quietness of their work, telling others about Jesus and selflessly, sacrificially serving other people in their trouble. Another secret of joy we looked at was in chapter 3, gain and loss. When I know Jesus and I have a growing relationship with Jesus, listen, everything else in my life is secondary. Everything else in my life doesn't matter. When Jesus is at the center of my life and I have a growing relationship with Him, I have joy in my life. Paul says, whatever things is verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7, whatever things were gained to me in my past, whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as loss for Jesus. Verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of this, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's it, church. Joy comes as you know Jesus. Look, when you came to know Jesus, we talk about being born again. The church, we preach that. We call people to be born again. Being born again is where your relationship, your walk with God begins. Or may I say, your race begins. Your course is set out before you. That's not the end of your relationship with God. That's the beginning of your relationship with God. That's why we say as a church over and over, now we're here to help you learn to follow Jesus. You pray to receive Christ. You confess Him as Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You come to be saved. You come to be born again. But now you start a journey. You go on a course and a path, a race path. You start the race of faith and you follow Jesus. You learn to love other people like Jesus. You learn to tell the world around you about Jesus. This is the joy that comes in knowing the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. Paul said, "My Lord." I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord today. And you're willing to wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And what do you want me to say?" Joy is found in knowing and growing in our relationship with Jesus. But now today, we talk about the joy of the reward of becoming like Christ. You see, here's what we learn today. We're moving from this place of brokenness and sin in this world where God saves us out of our sin to a place that's different and a place that's glorious. We don't have the words to describe it, but in the Bible it's called the place of glory, the place where God is. It's the place where Jesus, when He rose from the dead, He ascended with a physical body, a glorified physical body, into another dimension and time that's just as real as this place today. He was glorified. He is glorified. And one day Jesus, glorified there in heaven, will come again. We will see Him. He will come again bodily, physically to this world and to this earth. He will come again. So we think now today about where we're going. Where are you going on this journey? The joyful reward is that we will be like Christ. We will be glorified. No, we won't become gods. We will become all that God made man to be. You see, Adam was made, first of all, a man without sin. Adam and Eve. But they sinned. And so we've gone on this long experience, Jesus having to come die for sin, that we might be changed and be saved so that we can attain something we've not attained before. Now, notice what the Bible says. Today, the secret of joy is the joyful reward of becoming like Christ. Now, I want you to stand and honor the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 3, we'll read three verses. We pick up now after Paul's been talking about gain and loss, and he says, "Not that I have already obtained it." What is he talking about? Verse 11, he said, to attain to the resurrection from the dead. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Being resurrected from the dead is being like Jesus, raised from the dead with a body. A glorified body, glorified in heaven. Not that I've already obtained it. No, Paul was sitting in jail writing these words. Or have already become perfect. He said, I'm not perfect. I'm still here in this world having to wrestle with sin and the old nature in my life. I'm not yet perfect and glorified. But, look at this, read your Bible. But I press on. So, that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us by the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the joy of the reward and the race that we run that's laid out ahead of us. And we pray, come Lord Jesus, may we live and may we experience joy all the days of our life, our spiritual life, our Christian life on this broken, sinful, pitiful world. Help us to live like Jesus in joy because of the reward and what we will pain in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. May my words honor Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So I want you to see this. Joy sees beyond today. Look, we all make plans for tomorrow, but our plans are generally made for temporary things. We're going to go here. We're going to invest in this. We're going to get this education. Whatever it is, we make plans in a temporary world. And sometimes, listen, if you're not careful, you do planning in a temporary world and you forget. This is the shortest part of life for all of us who know Jesus. You know, if we live to be 80, 90 years old and then we die, it's still much shorter than an eternity with the Lord. So we have to think in different terms. We have to think with values that are focused on eternal things that don't end. Our lives have been changed. Jesus said, whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. Whoever believes in Him, even if you die, you will live. And if you live, you shall never die, because eternal life is now ours who know Jesus Christ. The joyful reward of attaining Christ's likeness, being glorified with the Lord, is an amazing, awesome truth. It raises your mind above this world. Look, folks, it's one disaster today, but it'll be another disaster tomorrow. I've lived long enough to see plenty of disasters. I've made my own set of disasters, and I've lived in my disasters. So have you. This world is not the place we find as our final place. The joyfulness that comes in the Christian life is the reward of attaining. I've not yet attained, Paul says in verse 12. I am not there. I have not attained, but I press on. Now that's what I want to talk about. In fact, let me point out to you, Paul uses this analogy of the race as I introduced at the beginning. Look at these words. These are all very important. They're runner's words. Verse number 12, I press on. The Greek word actually means I'm running. I run. Not that I have already obtained it, that is perfection or being like Jesus, but I run so that I may lay hold of that for which I have been laid hold of. I was saved. I was laid hold of. When I came to know Christ, He laid hold of me and started to do a new work in me. And now I move forward. I press on. By the way, this can't be a literal running, because Paul was in jail. He had chains on. He couldn't run. It had to be something else. It is running your faith life. It is trusting God day by day. Paul was still running, though he was sitting chained up in jail. Now that is something to go think about today. Your faith running is not based on where you live in this world. It's based on how you think about the future. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. I'm not perfect yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not perfect yet. That's good news, isn't it? Yay! Some of you spouses finally admitted it. Yay! Some of you kids have told your parents. I'm not perfect yet. You see, but the believer in Christ understands that one day I will be changed. I won't be like I am anymore. There's a reward ahead of us. We'll have a new body, the resurrected body. We talked about it last week. We'll have a literal glorified body. Jesus' body was His body when He walked on the earth, when it was raised from the dead. He ate in front of the disciples. They touched Him. They hugged Him. It was a real body. Our bodies will be changed. The dead in Christ will rise out of the grave with a transformed body. And those who are alive at the coming of Jesus, their bodies will be transformed. We don't live without our bodies, because there's something coming and you're going to need your body. This is what we have to understand. God made Adam. He made Adam a man with a body, A soul and a spirit. That's all of who you are, and all of that matters. And just like Jesus' body was raised from the dead, one day we will be raised from the dead. Our bodies miraculously come back into place, come back in order. Only God can do such a thing. But that's the hope. That's the joy that a Christian has when you put that body in the ground at the graveyard of those who are dead in Christ. We know and we have the confidence that body will be alive again. That person will, their spirit will be reunited with that body, and there'll be a joyous future for us. It leads me to the second thing, the joyful race of attaining Christ's likeness. Look at this. It's important. Verse 13, he says, I haven't attained Christ's likeness in the sense of being glorified yet. I don't have a resurrected body. I'm not perfect, but I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do. Did you notice each of these verses? Verse 12, but I press on. Verse 13, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. You know, when you run a race, you cannot run a very fast race if you're always looking behind you. Did you know that? You have to look ahead. You have to watch what's coming. Look at this phrase. Look what Paul says here. One thing I do, forgetting. By the way, that's a present tense verb. Forgetting. I keep forgetting what lies behind. What lies behind. Some Christians have stopped running their race. They're not living with forgetfulness. They're remembering all their past, and it stops you in your tracks. You're dwelling on your past. You're thinking about things. Listen, your past is like going to a museum and looking at artifacts. They're never going to change. They are what they are, and they're always going to be frozen in time. You can go look at them. You can understand history, and it's important to understand history. But when you go back in your mind and you continue to live in your past, you must remember when you come to know Jesus, you forget what lies behind. It's behind you, my Christian friend. Paul says, I press on. I forget what is behind. It's important for you, if you're going to have joy in your spiritual life, to forget what's behind. You cannot go back and change it. You cannot fix it. You can't relive those days. Forget what lies behind. In fact, let's practice this. Like a good New Yorker would say, forget about it. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, forget about it. Next time you hear your friend dwelling on the past, turn and say, forget about it. The Holy Spirit says, forget about it. We're done with that. We can't go back, but we reach forward. Oh, man alive, I need another 30 minutes to describe it. We reach forward. These words mean that we concentrate. We give concentrated, focused effort. We make effort to move forward. Listen, some of you have stopped growing spiritually because you're not reaching forward to what lies ahead. You know what lies ahead? Jesus is coming again. You know what lies ahead? A new heaven and a new earth. You know what lies ahead? A transformed, resurrected body in a place of glory and an eternal world we have no idea about. You know what lies ahead? The good stuff lies ahead. Not all the bad stuff. If you stay here long enough, something will flood, something will burn, or you get blown away or die. Isn't that good news? But if you know Jesus, there's something that lies ahead. So Paul says, verse 14, I press on the joyful reward, the joyful race, and oh, this sounds like a contradiction. It's the last thing I'll say and I'll be done. The joyful endurance of attaining Christ likeness. Pastor Mike, someone said to me, Why am I having to go through all of these terrible things in my life? I'm a Christian. I'm trying to follow Jesus. Why should I be going? Because God's not finished making you through your circle. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. And all those things are not good things. Some of them are pitifully bad. But the joyful endurance of attaining Christ-likeness, I press on toward the goal for the prize. The goal and the prize and the prize and the goal here are the same thing. It's becoming like Christ. It's the upward call of God in Christ. When the archangel shouts and the trumpet of God blasts, the upward call is made and the dead in Christ come out. There are going to be some empty graves when Jesus comes again. The dead in Christ are raised. Others' bodies are transformed in a moment. The upward call, glory, glorification takes place. What an amazing, amazing thing. And then the beginning of the ending starts from that point on. You see, the joyful endurance of attaining Christ's likeness is where we are. You have need, and I have need of endurance, the Bible teaches us. I want you to think as we finish today about running the race. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9, run the race to win. Run the race to win, to finish, to accomplish your purpose. But let me read you these wonderful words. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we see such a great cloud of witnesses, other people who before us in other generations have lived by faith surrounding us, let us also, listen to me today, church. I love you in Jesus. Listen to me. Hear what I'm saying to you. Some of you are not running your race. You're sitting. You want to go back. You're not running. Listen to me. Let us lay aside the things that hold us back and entangle us. What's holding you up? What's entangling your feet? What's keeping you by faith from running? What discouragement has come in your life? What difficulties have you put in your mind? What bondage have you allowed in your mind so that you cannot run your race by faith and trust God? He says, lay aside those things that so easily entangle us and let us run with endurance. He's not talking about physically running. He's talking about your faith running. Are you running by faith? Are you running the race? And run the race with endurance that is set before you. Oh, I don't like my race. It's your race. It's got hills. It's got valleys. It's got turns. It's got darkness. It's got pain. It's got happiness. It's got sunshine and clouds and everything in between. Run with endurance the race before you. Something lies ahead. Something beyond. We're running the race to a destination. We're going to a place to attain. And then he says these wonderful words, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's gone before us. He's already done this. We do what Jesus did. See, this is following Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for, are you ready for this? The joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame. That's what we do. That's how we live for Jesus. We press on. We press on in the temptations and troubles. We press on when we fail. We get back up. We press on. We don't stop. We don't sit around. We don't try to go back. We don't keep thinking about what was that lies behind. We think about what's in the future. We set our minds on the things that are coming, on the promises of Jesus, on what He's going to do. We go ahead and press on with concentration. We strain and move forward. So turn to your neighbor, and I mean preach it. Tell them, press on. Right now, tell your neighbor, press on. Boys and girls, tell them, press on. That's what somebody needs to hear. Press on. Get up. Quit looking back. Quit complaining and grumbling. With the joy of Jesus, press on. Oh, there's an old tombstone up in the Swiss Alps, And on this, it's the marker for a fellow who was a mountain climber. He died up on that mountain. 18,000 plus feet, there's just a marker. Simple marker, grave marker. And on the grave marker it says, he died climbing. He died climbing. How about this? You and I, if we know Jesus, the joy is this. We die running. We die running. And when you do, you find joy. It comes back inside of you. Joy. Joy. It's what you want. It's what you need. Joy. Amen. Let's pray. So Lord, so many of us in our lives, we stop running the race. Paul said, I press on. I've not attained, I'm not perfect, but I press on. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and stretching, reaching forward to what lies ahead. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us all to live in the joy of Jesus. Because we have such hope in a hopeless world. So, Lord, this room, like every hour this morning, has been filled with people who are having a hard time. So we need to understand the secret of joy. There's reward, something ahead. There's some things ahead. Help us by faith to get up, drop all these things that we've been worrying about that don't matter, and press on. I pray that you would help every person in this room to remember and hear the Holy Spirit say, press on. Press on. Whatever you face. Press on. Perhaps you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, that's the most important step, is for you to start there by confessing Jesus as Lord. If you don't know Jesus, we stand in just a moment. We'll sing. We invite you to come. We'll help you know how to trust Christ as your Savior. If you're here and you don't have a church, you don't have a place to belong, we invite you to come and be with us here and belong to this place and this group. We're not perfect people here. We got our own struggles, every one of us, and we're trying to do the best we can to follow Jesus. But if you don't belong anywhere, we invite you to come. Heavenly Father, we now pray that you would help us to see the joy of the Lord is our strength. And may that joy come to abide in every believer in this place. May they leave this place rejoicing in the Lord. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing this song from the balcony or below. If you need to come, you come on right now. Anybody here? Anybody in the house?
Jesus, I surrender all.
Anybody here?
Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him.
Sing it out, church. I surrender all. Sing it out.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Make me Savior. I surrender all. surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Right, let's everyone bow your head. Let's everyone bow our heads. Everyone for just a moment. I always believe anybody comes, it's another opportunity for somebody else. Say, Pastor Mike, I'm just trying to get out of here. I got a lot of other important things to do, friend. There's nothing more important than your spiritual life and how you're walking or not walking with God. It's the most important responsibility you have. So this morning, those of you who are part of this church, says the Lord, is the Lord saying to you, it's time for you to press on? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Press on. Press on. Quit staying where you are. Quit being hung up on these things from your past. Press on. Press on. The Holy Spirit will lead you. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, these are the children of God. Follow the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to what He says to you. Press on. Forget what lies behind. Reach forward to what lies ahead. I'm going to ask Steve to sing while our heads are bowed. If someone else needs to come, we want to invite you to come. Steve's going to sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Anybody else?
Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me.
All right, let's sing it together. Come on, church. Let's sing it together. Come on, sing it with all your heart. I surrender all. Sing it with all your heart.
I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Thank you for just, we're just a few minutes late today. God bless you for being here. While you're standing, now I want you to do a better job than the 9 o'clock hour did. We had to practice this a couple of times. I want you to do this with all the gusto you can. Turn to your neighbor and say, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, that's so much better. Here's the way it was at 9 o'clock. Rejoice in the Lord. Kind of like this. And again I say rejoice. No, 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 no. Let's do it one more time. Practice. Rejoice in the Lord. There you go. Amen. Now we've had church. All right, Todd, come introduce this one who's coming.
Okay, church, real briefly, we had a special lady come forward. Her name is Edna Rye. She's a member of a Southern Baptist church and desires to move her membership here in her transfer of letters. So, Edna, come on up, please. Pat, come with her if you wouldn't mind. If you rejoice in her decision to unite with this family of faith, just raise your hand and say amen. 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 Congratulations, Edna. Glad to have you. Well, enjoy the sunshine because that's going to change in a day or two. But Steve, close us out. Lord's blessings to all of you.
Let's read God's word together from Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace equip you with all that is good to do His will, working in us what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Glory belongs to Him forever and ever. Amen.